Please welcome Gene Melter.
Thank you. Well, our 19-year-old son works at Target. And the other day he was cashiering, and a young man tried to pay for his groceries with a food stamps debit type card. And it wouldn't work. And my son tried, it wouldn't work. So the guy was about to give up, leave without his stuff. And he'd explained that it was his mother's groceries for his mother. And the woman behind him in line, a middle-aged woman with her teenage daughter, said, I'll pay. $80 she gave the guy. And after he left, our son said, wow, that was really generous of you. And she just said, sometimes you have to help people out. And I was really moved by this story. And so at dinner, I announced to my family that from then on, I was going to start being more like that woman. I was going to start being more kind and helpful and generous with people less fortunate than me. After dinner, my husband Matt and I walked over to the video store, which is in the strip mall at Foothill and Broad. And out front was a homeless-looking, I'll say, couple. I'd seen the man around before. He's maybe in his 60s, red hair and beard, lots of difficulty walking. And then he's with this woman who's kind of similar, maybe a little more able-bodied. They've got a shopping cart with them. It's the kind of small items in the bottom, then piled with blankets, and then on top of the blankets, a fold-up walker. And as we approach, the woman says to me, hi, do you think you could spare some change? And I say, yeah, I can. Absolutely, sure. And I hold out my hand to my husband, because he's got our money for the DVDs folded up in his pocket. And as he hands me the money, it drops. And so now all four of us are looking down at this pavement, and we see three bills. There's a five and two ones. And the woman laughs and says, oh, be careful, you don't want to lose that. And I pick it up, and I've got the bills in my hand, and this is the thought that went through my mind. If I give them the five, we won't be able to get any movies. If I give them the two ones, we'll only be able to get one movie. But if I give them the one, then we'll still be able to get two movies. And yes, I'm filled with shame. And I hand this woman $1. And she says to me in all sincerity, thanks, this will really help. Never mind that $1 between two people is not that helpful. So we go into the video store and they go on their way. And as I'm flipping through the DVDs, I'm feeling pretty bad about what I'd done, especially after my big speech at the dinner table. But not bad enough to go out and find the slow-moving couple and give them the rest of our money. The very next afternoon, this is about a week and a half ago, I'm out walking our dog, Abby. And Abby and I are at the Signal at Foothill and Broad. And we look across the street, and there's the same man, and he's on the sidewalk. He's kind of crawling around. And it looks like he's trying to stand up, and he's trying to use his shopping cart to pull himself up, but it's got wheels. And so it keeps rolling away from him, and he keeps flopping back down. And I think to myself, okay, I've been given another chance this time. I'm going to help this guy. But it's a long Signal. It's a very busy street. You can't just cross. And I'm there for like a few minutes watching him, kind of struggling and flopping around. And it's a terrible sight. And I'm actually hoping that someone will stop. I'm going to help him, but I'm hoping someone else will get involved, because it looks like a daunting prospect. you know, how exactly am I going to help him, and what's this going to turn into? But dozens of people drove through that intersection. They could all see him, just drove right by him. And I thought, if it were me flopping around on the sidewalk on this corner, I think a lot of those people would stop. Because their thinking would be, uh-oh, there's a middle-class woman, something suddenly happened to her, an illness or injury, you know, out of the blue, and I must stop and help her and restore her to her usual health and comfort, you know. But seeing him on the sidewalk, they're thinking, another shitty incident and that guy's shitty life. Nothing I can do about it, right? So I was very relieved when someone did. A beat-up car, guy in a beat-up old car, slows down, looks over at the man as quick as he can, turns the corner and parks his car and gets out and hurries over to the guy. And now the signal changes, and Abby and I cross. And by the time I got there, this guy is already talking to the man on the ground. And I'm going to call him Good Samaritan. So Good Samaritan is about my age and thin, and he's wearing pretty old, rumply clothes, and he looks a little raggedy himself. And but he's talking to the man on the ground in a very clear, calm voice. Sir, what's your name? Can you tell us your name? And it took a while for him to get an answer out of the man. He seemed confused, but he tells us his name, and I'm going to call him Willie. And then Good Samaritan and I introduce ourselves, and Good Samaritan says, Willie, what can we do to help you? Do you want to stand up? Do you want to get into your walker? Do you want us to call the paramedics? What can we do to help you? But Willie's not interested in answering those questions. And he just wants to tell us about his pain. And he talks about how badly his hips hurt and how badly his knees hurt. And he's trying to describe the pain. And he keeps saying things like, pardon my language, but it's like fucking hot chili sauce in here. And then he's also alternately really interested in my dog. You know, what's her name? What kind of dog is it? And can I pet her and all this? So I bring the dog closer. And so Willie's just sort of down on the sidewalk petting my dog. And but Good Samaritan is trying to move things along. He's not being impatient, but he really wants to help this guy. You know, can you just tell us what you need? What can we do for you, Willie? And Willie's just not responding. So Good Samaritan turns to me and he says, "Are you a Christian?" And I'm very taken aback by this question and kind of feel defensive. I feel a lot of things at once. And I say, no, not really. Well, I mean, I guess I have Christian values. I guess you might say that. I don't know. And he says, yeah, I can see that. And then he turns back to the man and he says, Willie, look, two complete strangers have stopped to help you. God wants you to be healed. Will you let me pray with you? And Willie hears this, and he kind of scowls at Good Samaritan and kind of bats at him. And so Good Samaritan kind of goes back to the other line, you know, about the what can we do, kind of the practical, down to earth kind of line of thinking. And I'm thinking, you know what, it's going to be a challenge. Actually, my back isn't great. Good Samaritan does not look strong, and I think we need to get a third person involved. So I start watching the cars go by, and I flag down, like, you know, one of these studly-looking college boys. And he's going, me? You know, like this. But he pulls over, and he gets out. Now there are three people standing over Willie on the sidewalk. And Good Samaritan says, Willie, God sent three people to help you. Will you pray with us? Will you pray for healing? And he kind of elaborates, you know, sometimes God heals people through me. Will you pray with us, Willie? And Willie's not engaging in this line of thinking at all. And I look over at, I'll call him young male, and I can't tell from his expression where he stands on the prayer thing. And I actually realize I don't know where I stand either. But Willie, in any case, isn't going to participate. And Good Samaritan, I guess, doesn't believe you pay for people without their consent. So we decide that we're going to try to get it, set up the walker and get him into it. That's like the humane thing to do. We can't leave him there. So we set up the walker, but the next part doesn't go well at all. It's a long, complicated process. Willie doesn't want us to push and pull him. He's in a lot of pain. And we end up deciding to call the paramedics. And then Good Samaritan comes up with a couple of interesting comments. One is, yeah, it's better if he's on the ground when the paramedics come, then they're more likely to be willing to take him to the hospital. And the other thing he said was, Willie, where do you hide your cart? I'll take it there for you. And Willie told him his secret hiding place, and he did take it. So see, Good Samaritan, I think, knows a thing or two about being homeless. So the paramedics came, lickety-split, they're right around the corner, a big fire truck and an ambulance, and they got Willie on the stretcher and were taking him away. I said goodbye to these gentlemen, and I was walking home, and I run into Willie's friend, the woman, and I say hi, and she smiles and says hi, and I say, if you're looking for Willie, he's on his way to the hospital, and I tell her where the cart is parked, and she says, oh, good, thanks a lot. Like she was really happy for Willie. Thanks.